It's about 10:15 a.m. local time. That's Western Australian time. I've just moved into Western Australia from the Northern Territory. I've got about 20 kilometres to go to get to Kununurra, which is the first town I see today. I left Timber Creek at about 1:30 a.m. this morning, Northern Territory time, so that would be about midnight Western Australian time. There's a 90-minute time difference. Kununurra is 225 kilometres. I've then got about another 110 kilometres to go after Kununurra to get to the Doon Doon Roadhouse, which is where I'm aiming for tonight. There's no accommodation there, but they have a campground with showers and a toilet block, so I'll probably just sleep on my ground sheet, take advantage of the showers. They do have a restaurant there. It's quite hot for 10:15 in the morning. Maximum temperature in this area is forecast to be around 35 degrees centigrade today, which is hot. For the last 30 or 40 kilometres I've been battling a headwind, which is quite warm, which is a bit unexpected. It's supposed to be a tailwind today, so I'm a little bit annoyed at that. It's just making me go a bit slower, and it's harder work. I've been travelling through savannah country, although passed through a few local mountain, low mountain ranges. Quite interesting scenery, rocky bluffs, a lot of rocks actually. Especially as the sun came up, and that was very pretty. Earlier on during the night, on two occasions, just missed hitting small wallabies that ran across in front of me. Wouldn't have missed the tails of either of them by more than about a foot. I don't know that they would have knocked me off, but may have done. And then about an hour and a half ago, had the good fortune to see a dingo just go trotting across the road in front of me. Not too bothered by my presence, but didn't hang around either. It was a moonless night to start with. There's a crescent moon came up not long before dawn, but lots of stars, very pretty, looking at it without that moonlight, it's the stars are that much brighter. I'm on my new bike today. First time I've ridden it was when riding out of Timber Creek this morning. It's basically doing a reasonably good job. There's a few problems with it. The derailleurs, the gears aren't set quite right. I can't get the onto the biggest chain ring at the front, which gives me my highest gears. But the middle cog is okay, so whilst I'll try and make some adjustments when I get some time, I can survive with it the way it is. Another problem is that the left and right brake levers and gear change levers are set at different positions on the handlebars. I don't know how that happened. It's not a small task to make them equal, because all of the binding on the handlebars has to be undone and then done again. And really needs to be done by a professional. So that's going to be a bit of a pain in the butt. But otherwise, the bike seems to be fine. Going back over the weekend to describe how I got to the point of being on a new bike. I got into Timber Creek late on Friday afternoon with a major pedal problem. Discovered that the alloy nut inside the carbon fiber crank arm that the pedal screws into had actually fractured and was breaking away out of the carbon fiber arm. So for the last 20 or 30 kilometers it was just getting worse and worse, and not only that, it was making my right knee very sore because the pedal wasn't flat when I stood on it. It was jerking around. As I came into Timber Creek, which was about 4:30, there was a garage there. It's a sort of a pub, a general store, and a garage type town. And the garage guys were obviously enjoying a smoke and a drink at the end of a week, all sitting around. I went in to ask them whether they had any ideas. They didn't seem to be all that interested. One of them said if some welding would help, that there's some guy who'd be home on the weekend who does welding. But that would be wasn't going to be any help to me with a carbon fiber crank arm. It would have been all right if it was an alloy. And I asked them whether they had any epoxy resin that I might have been able to use to bind the pedal into correct position. And they said that usually they had some industrial strength stuff, but they didn't have any in stock and hadn't had for a while. And you should get some more in. He said, I might find something at the general store. So I wandered down there. But it's really just one of those small community general stores. And the best they had was some araldite. And that wasn't going to do the job. So I became quite despondent about all this. I went and got my room and was trying to think of options. I was talking to Sharon on the phone. I called Rod Martin on the phone. I tried from the bike shop back in Gosford. I tried to call Dan Cleary on the phone from the other bike shop where I actually bought the bike. I couldn't get him at the time, and I was getting pretty despairing of any solutions. Called the Kununurra Cycle Club after Sharon found a number for them, see if they had any suggestions. They said that really it wasn't much prospect of help in Kununurra. If they wanted any bike supplies, they ordered them from Darwin, and there was no bike mechanic in town. I went to bed on Friday night quite depressed, and figuring that although I was going to sleep on it, the best option seemed to be to call it quits and head for home. On Saturday morning, I checked my email. I sent out a report on Friday night describing what my problem was so that everybody on the Yahoo group would have a chance to give me some input if they were interested. I had quite a few suggestions, commiserations, some people saying that I shouldn't be worried about pulling out. Others saying hang in there and there were things that could be done. The two best suggestions, which offered the best prospect for getting going again in time. I really felt like I had to be riding again on Monday morning to have any chance of even a remote chance of breaking the record. The first suggestion was that I ask around the better equipped grey nomads in the caravan park to see if any of them had a good strength epoxy resin. And I actually did that. I walked around and asked a few people. I found a couple of guys travelling in a pretty well-equipped truck. They had some resin, but it wasn't really super industrial strength. but one of the guys who seemed to be a bit of an engineering type asked whether he could have a look at the bike. We had a look, and I think his opinion was that the epoxy resin he had probably wasn't going to be strong enough given the stresses on that particular joint, and B, that he wasn't sure whatever epoxy resin we had that we'd be able to get it into the site, you know, good enough position to hold the pedal straight anyway. I guess that sort of confirmed my own views that that at best it was a long shot, and all that was going to do was get me maybe to Broome, which was going to involve loss of more time while I tried to sort out a replacement. Second suggestion, which seemed to hold out some hope, was to try and get replacement crank set or crank arm sent from Darwin on the Greyhound bus, and that I would fit it at Timber Creek and get going. I researched the Greyhound buses and saw that they left Darwin at 7:15 a.m. Once a day, getting to Timber Creek around 3:20 p.m. So then I started calling around, and I also spoke to Dan Cleary at the bike shop, and he said he'd talk to his bike guys, his bike mechanics, and see whether they could think of any solutions to the problem and get back to me. So I started calling the bike shops looking for the right crank set or crank arm. Dan said it was fairly important to get the same brand, that although I could get another brand crankset, that may well involve additional tools being required and some additional pieces of equipment to make it fit to the crank on my bike. The first five bike shops pretty much struck out. They didn't have anything that they could help me out with. The sixth bike shop was Bike to Fit, which was an Avanti specialised dealer in Darwin, and it turned out that Dan Cleary had just called them. He's an Avanti specialised dealer, and they were already looking to see whether they had anything. When I spoke to them, I spoke to Simon, the proprietor. He had a look around to see if, well, he was quite busy in the shop. It was a Saturday morning. He said he would have a look around to see what he had. He wasn't confident. Then while he was doing that, I called Greyhound to see how I'd go about getting some freight sent down on Sunday if he did have something. Found out that Greyhound freight office is closed on weekends, and when I called the main Greyhound office, they said there was no way unaccompanied freight could be organised on the weekend to go down. So that ruled out the prospect of me getting the part delivered from Darwin on Sunday anyway, even if that was available. I then started thinking about maybe it would be easy to get a replacement bike. So I called Simon back at the Darwin Avanti shop and asked him what he had in stock that might suit my purposes. And he said he only had one bike really, and that was a Tricross, specialised Tricross, which is the same model that I already had. But a sort of standard model, not an expert that I had. But it would be very similar in many ways, just some of the componentry would be different. For instance, the crankset wasn't going to be carbon fibre, it was alloy. And he gave me a price for that, which was quite expensive, but I'm not really in a position to negotiate. I said I'd think about it for an hour. By this time it was getting pretty late morning, and if I was going to get that bike, I was going to have to catch the bus from Timber Creek, the Greyhound bus, only one a day, and it went at 1:40 p.m. So decision was called for fairly quickly. I called back and said I'd take the bike if he could have it ready for me to pick up tonight. That night, that after the bus got in, the bus is due to get into Darwin at 9:30 p.m. If I could meet him at the shop either, well, first I suggested that early the next morning, but we later arranged to do it after the bus arrived on Saturday night. So then I had to quickly book a seat on the Greyhound bus, a return seat with a bike. I went to see if there was any way I could freight the bike directly from my existing bike, directly from Timber Creek back to Gosford at the general store who handled Greyhound freight. But all they can do about freight was call the freight office, which is closed on the weekend, so there was no way that could be organised before Monday, and my plan was to be gone by Monday, or gone by the time they opened on Monday anyway. So I asked Simon when I said I'd take the bike whether he could arrange to ship my old bike back to Dan Cleary and the Pushy Galore bike shop in Gosford. So that's what we did. He said he would do that. So then I had to, as fast as I could, I'll rebook my my room at Timber Creek for another night so that I could leave gear there for Saturday night but come back to it and stay Sunday night without having to, and without having to worry about that, moving my gear out. I had to book a room in Darwin, find one that was going to be convenient, which I did. I found a backpackers hostel that was very close to where the bus station came in. It wasn't all that cheap. I was paying for a four-bed room when there's only one of me, but it was still cheaper than a hotel in the same area. And then I had to strip as much stuff off the bike as I thought I was going to need to transfer to the new bike. So that was the carrier, the lighting system. Started to take off the bottle cages but ran out of time. The front rack, and things like that. I did start to run out of time. I was starting to panic. Eventually decided I'd have to leave the bottle cages till I got to Darwin. I've got special bottle cages. They hold a litre and a quarter bottles, which is much larger than your usual water bottle holder. And because they don't fit perfectly on the bike, there's various kinds of improvisation, which makes it a bigger job to transfer the cages than you might think. Anyway, I got out to the bus stop at 1:30. Had a moment of panic because there didn't seem to be any activity, and then I started thinking in my haste I might have misread the timetable and the bus left at 1:20, not 1:40. And that would have been the end of it because no more buses, only one a day. But after 5 minutes, the bus appeared in the distance, and I breathed a sigh of relief. Loaded the bike on, I had to take the pedals off and turn the handlebars sideways to reduce the cost from $49 to $25 for the bike. And got on the bus and set off towards Darwin. A bit over 8 hour trip, or about 8 hour trip. It was quite nice getting on the bus in the terms of sitting in a comfortable seat. I got a window, there's plenty of room. had a spare seat beside me. I'd bought a couple of sandwiches and a drink before I got on from the roadhouse in Timber Creek, and then I just had a chance to look at the scenery again that I'd ridden through the previous day, going in the opposite direction. I've seen the Greyhound bus go past me quite a lot in my travels around Australia. Always wondered what it was like to travel that way, and I guess my assessment was that it's not too bad a way to travel. The bus was clean, the staff were courteous, it was comfortable, air conditioning was good, not too hot, you're sitting quite high, you get a good view of the scenery, better than you do from a car. And I quite enjoyed reviewing the scenery again. The bus stopped at Catherine for about 45 minutes. I know Catherine reasonably well by now, so I ducked across to the supermarket and got a few goodies for the second half of the trip, and some a pie and pasty, or pie and sausage roll from the Brumbury's Bakery there for my dinner. And then return to the bus, and for the remaining 3 hours up to Darwin as the sun went down. Got some nice views over the gradually more tropical scenery. Lots of rocky outcrops, some more exotic looking plants in the watercourses and so on, but still a lot of bare savanna type country. As we got closer to Darwin, I tried flicking my radio on and was lucky enough to find that the Geelong Sydney football game was being broadcast, so I could listen to my team Geelong barely hanging on to a close match. Unfortunately, we got to Darwin before the match finished, so I didn't find out the result till the next day, but they did hang on to win by just 4 points, which was good. The bus stopped at Mitchell Street in Darwin at the bus, or the transit centre there. I jumped off Mitchell Street Saturday night, 9:30. It was really humming. It's obviously a popular spot with Darwin, for Darwin nightlife, and especially for backpackers. There are a lot of backpackers hostels and stuff there, and being in the tropics, it was quite balmy outside, so lots of street activity. But all seemingly good-natured and happy. I called Simon to say I'd arrived and was going to get a cab out to his shop. He'd given me the address. It was about 8 kilometres out of town, out of the centre. I found a cab quite quickly, and a friendly cab driver who knew where we needed to go. So had a quick trip out, got to Simon's shop, the back entrance, about 10 o'clock, I guess. Found him there. He's got quite a nice, well set up big shop. There he had the bike out ready for me, and then I tried his patience, I guess, by then wanting to change some things over on the bike. I had to change my I had to change my rear tyre from my existing bike to the new bike. I couldn't just swap the wheel because it was a my existing bike's a 20 speed, and the new bike's 27 speed, so it has nine cogs on the rear sprocket, and my existing bike has 10, so couldn't just swap the wheel. So I had to take the tyres off, swap the tyres. Did have to swap the front wheel though, because my front wheel has my dynamo hub built into the axle that powers my two front lights. So we had to do that. I changed the seat post because I didn't want to be getting used to a new seat, plus the one I had I thought was probably more expensive and a better quality. So we swapped that across, and then we had to swap the bottle cages across, and the trip computer. Took a little while to do the bottle cages. Again, Simon was very patient. It was also quite warm, so I worked up a bit of a sweat. So all up, it probably took an hour to make those changes. I bought a spare chain from Simon, because the spare chain I've currently got's for a 20 speed, not a 27 speed, so that needed to be changed. And paid him for the bike, and suggested that if he didn't mind, he could ship the other bike back to Pushy Galore. Probably I'll get in touch with Dan and ask that it can be sent COD, so that Dan pays for it and I pay Dan when I get back home. We then tried to call the same cab company that gave me a lift out, but they were Simon made the call. They were just putting him on hold, and in the end he kindly offered to drive me back into town to Mitchell Street. I didn't know exactly where the hostel was I'd booked, but it was a bit hard to tell, so in the end I just, rather than have Simon hang around, I just said, got him to drop me off, and I walked down the street pushing the bike, and found the hostel without too much trouble. Checked in, thought about had a chat to Sharon. By this time we're talking about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, still buzzing Mitchell Street. I was still needed a bit of a wind down period before I went to bed. I went out for a walk with the thought of getting an ice cream. There was a Baskin Robbins just up the road, and a drink. But I was just too late. Most of those shops had closed. There were only a few cafes open, and I didn't really feel like sitting down to anything. So in the end, I wandered back to the hostel. Had a shower, washed out my only set of non-biking clothes that I've been wearing for 2 days. Shorts, underpants and t-shirt. And hung them up in the hope that they'd dry overnight and I'd be able to put them on again in the morning. And then set my alarm for 6 o'clock. Bus goes at 7:15. Slept quite well. Got up at 6, found out my clothes hadn't dried. Not much I could do about it, just put them on wet. Packed up, didn't take long. And then walked out, found the bus terminal again. There was a cafe there that opens at 5:30. Got some small bacon and eggs for breakfast, some juice, and some other stuff for the bus, some muffin. Julie got the bus at 7:15. There were quite a few more people on it, particularly for the first leg to Catherine. So I ended up sitting next to a young guy who was travelling with his parents. They'd been up in Darwin for a conference the weekend, and we're catching the bus back to Kununurra, then flying home to Perth from there. So not quite as much room, but still comfortable enough, and I spent a lot of that leg to Catherine dozing anyway. Catherine, pretty much the same procedure, bus stopped for about 45 minutes, got some lunch. Bought a few supplies for today's cycling. Got back on the bus, it had emptied out a bit, so we spread ourselves around, had more space. Retraced my steps again to Timber Creek. Got to Timber Creek about 3:20, 3:30. return to the cabin that I had booked. All my stuff was left strewn all over the place exactly as I'd left it, which was good. And then I spent the next 2 hours refitting the carrier and the lighting systems and the front rack and trip computer and pedals, stuff like that. And then repacking my bags, pretty much getting ready to go today. It took me the best part of 2 hours. It was a bit longer than I hoped, but not much I could do about it. I had the AFL football going on, the TV in the background, but I didn't really pay much attention to what was going on. Finally got it all done at 5:30. Still feeling a bit stressed about the whole business. Not looking forward to trying to break the record. 30 days at 314k a day just seems like an unreachable goal. I guess motivation low. Not really looking forward to getting out on the road the next day, and had a few little problems. Couldn't quite get the front bag rack on properly, although I think I've improvised, it'll probably work. And one of the nuts that holds the rear carrier on seemed to break off inside, so that I couldn't get the screw out and couldn't get it screwed in. So I ended up binding it with some cable ties, and it seemed solid enough, but could have done without that as a problem. Pretty much all ready to go. Went over and got a hamburger, ordered a hamburger with a lot at the cafe. They took forever to make it. They've got all these backpackers working there, and I think they're pretty disorganised. There are a couple of other guys waiting for the same kind of order, who were pretty friendly to the staff to start with, but were rolling their eyes by the end. How long does it take to make a hamburger with a lot? I was kind of annoyed because I had this goal of getting into bed not too much after six, it was after six by the time I got back to the room with the food. I did a bit of email and found out with one of those emails and through some instant messaging that my son Aaron had broken his nose in a football game in Sydney the day before, and I hadn't picked that up in the email message that he'd sent, so I was sort of scanning through everything at a great rate of knots, so I felt bad about that when I inquired how he was, and he'd already told me about it. And also I hadn't had a chance to talk to Sharon and tell her how my day had gone, and I knew she was worried about what was going on. So you sort of have these pressures that you feel like you owe people a bit of time. And at the same time, you're concerned that you're not going to get enough sleep, and you know that you need to get that sleep if you're going to have any chance of keeping going. Anyway, eventually got into bed about 7:30 p.m. after I'd had a shower. I was in a room without facilities, so that involves going to a shower block and back, which adds a bit of time. And set the alarm for 5 hours later, 12:40 this morning, got up then and got on the road by 1:30, and here I am. So it's a long story, but that's how I come to be here at day 22, Monday, August the 17th. That's it for now.